I like young Cunningham, Rory Cunningham. I think there's something in him. Again, he's starting his senior inter-county. Like, he obviously has a lot of experience at underage and stuff, but it's, it's a different kettle of fish. But I thought, like, he had a hand in Kyle Sweeney's goal last week. And remember, the ball came into him and he had the ball laid off very, very quickly. He has the instincts of a forward, of a good inside forward. You can see it in him. Like, even down in, if you remember down the dome there in the FPD, like, he had whipped a couple of balls in the back of the net and he was only in a few minutes. I've seen him a few times with at club level, and he just has lovely touches for as an inside player. I think there's something in him. I think we mightn't see it all this year, because again, he's just learning his trade, and he'll be getting up to the speed of it and what cornerbacks do at inter-county level. But there's definitely something in young Cunningham. I think he knows where the posts are, and he has the instincts of an inside player. And it's a hard thing to coach. If you played inside in the inside line, all your underage life, you have learned things over a 10-year, 12-year period. Like, that it's very hard for a guy that is just put in there and has to figure it out in the space of a few months.
The Maroon and White Pod, brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
You're welcome along to the Maroon and White Pod. I'm joined by Eddie Hoare and Malachy Clerkin of the Irish Times to look back on Galway's victory over Monaghan yesterday in round 5 of the National Football League. A badly needed win for Galway, and it could go a long way to Galway surviving in Division 1 this year. A badly needed win, really, wasn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, most certainly. I think from the week before against Derry, I would have said that Galway were probably a little bit unlucky. The penalty definitely changed the game, and having Derry score that penalty and then Galway missed a good goal chance up the other end with Niall Daly, it sort of swung. And then when you lose to Derry, you're all of a sudden, it's a must-win game then in Clonus. But they did go up, they applied themselves well. A few fortuitous goals, but that said, they were in the ascendancy, they were attacking the ball in the right areas, and they scored 3-12. They'll be really, really happy coming home from Clonus with the 2 points. And hopefully that should secure, not fully, but should go a long way to securing Division One status for 2025.
And Malachy, it was a significant game really for both teams yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Surely was, yeah. Yeah, like, especially, Monaghan have had a terrible league, and when they were, I'd say an hour beforehand, when they looked at the Galway team sheet, they went, well, okay, that's when we get to championship time, that's not Galway's championship team, There's an awful lot of people sitting in Clonus yesterday would have been looking through the Galway team going, I don't know the half of these. And so that was really Monaghan's chance, having kind of got taken to school by Roscommon the week before. If they were going to save their league campaign, they kind of had to win at home against an inexperienced Galway team. And the goals were the killer, but like, I know a lot of Monaghan people were kind of going, they were unlucky goals and all of this. Monaghan have conceded 11 goals in the league in 5 games so far. They can't all be unlucky, So it's, I think Monaghan's long and vainglorious run in Division One is probably coming to an end finally. But it was a huge game for both teams in and of the league campaign. Galway ought to stay up now. It'd be a shame for them to ruin it from here, really. But I can't see Monaghan staying up.
Just on that, you talk about fortuitous goals. On Twitter yesterday, there's a lot of Monaghan fans talking about a particular goalkeeper that they didn't have yesterday in Rory Beggan. What's your view as a Monaghan supporter? Obviously, you've seen what Rory did for you as a county, and then you see him last night on the NFL Combine.
Yeah, like, I mean, everybody has kind of mixed feelings about it. We're an odd little county at the back of England, you know. We are a very, very small place when you think about it. You know, like if everybody in Monaghan went to a Monaghan game in Croke Park, there'd still be 20,000 seats left over. You know, that's who we are. And so part of us loves seeing like Monaghan people going out on the world stage and doing things that kind of make people kind of go, what? He did what? You know, we have a couple of young. Like we have a couple of young boxers, two twins, Stephen and, or they're not twins, they're brothers, Stevie and Aaron McKenna, who are both like they both have sort of 20 and 0 records at low level, low enough levels of boxing, but everybody's kind of going, these guys could be the next Barry McGuigan, you know? And you know, we have actors and we have all sorts of stuff. So we take huge kind of pleasure in people heading away off. But when that coincides with the football team, people kind of go, well, hang on now. Hang on now. Is the NFL really that big a deal now? Is it that big a deal that Rory Beggin's gonna leave the Monaghan football team? That's a different story now, you know, because Monaghan footballers, like the reason Monaghan have stayed at any sort of level, I think in our hearts, we all kind of know that this isn't gonna last. You know, we know that Division One is great to be in. But that you need a really special group of players playing at a special level for an extended period of time. Like it's only Monaghan and Kerry have been in Division One for the last 10 years. Everybody else got relegated from it at some point. So you need a conveyor belt of players. You need a lot of experience, all of that sort of stuff. And I think everybody knew that this would come eventually. It's obviously no accident that, you know, it has happened when Rory has gone. If nothing else, you're taking one of their main scoring threats out of the team. He's always good for 2, 3 points, or at least 2, 3 attempts at goal, you know. He was playing so well for Scotstown, actually, in the club championship. He has really come on as a Gaelic footballer, not just as a goalkeeper. Do you know what I mean? Like that sort of roving role that he has, when he was starting to do it about 5 years ago, a lot of Monaghan people were kind of going, listen, Rory, if you were good enough to play outfield, you would be playing outfield. And he has actually improved his skills, his basic skills of Gaelic football tremendously, and was very good for Scotstown in the club championship doing that. So all of that's a roundabout way of saying, look, he's a huge, huge loss. You know, we don't have that many all-stars, really. We don't have that many players who are considered in the top three, four in their position in the country. For him to go away, yeah, it's all a bit mixed. I think there was definitely, I watched the live stream last night for a while. And you know, there was definitely a fair mix of Monaghan people going, go on, Rory, and a fair mix of them going, counting the days, going, hang on, we're playing Cavan on 5 weeks. Yeah, okay. Do we think he can get it out of his system in the next 5 weeks? Yeah, well, hopefully, you know. So we'll see. We'll see. I think everybody wishes him very well. Nobody, like, you can't stint the service he put in. You know, he played literally every game for I think 11 seasons in a row. Like he hasn't missed a league or championship game, I think, since like 2015 or 2014 or something like that. So he's a huge part of that team. But yeah, Jesus, Monaghan could do it, am I right?
For sure, it's tough to lose a player like that. But from the Galway perspective, Eddie, a lot of the younger players yesterday standing up.
Most certainly, Paul. Yeah, and I'd say Pádraig coming into the league, and for any county, I would say it would be first priority is ultimately try and retain Division One status. I think they've done that. The second then would be on retaining their status is to embed some new players into the setup, and they've done that as well, which is a really, really big positive. And in a way, maybe his Pádraig's hand was forced insofar as he had a long list of injuries. But to be fair, the guys that have come in haven't stood back, and they've actually developed a good run of games, and the form and consistency is improving, and you can see the confidence with it. And finally, then I suppose going into Division One, if you're safe. You have a few players brought through. If there's an opportunity to go on and win the league, every manager would like to do that and win it. But Galway are in a position where they're safe now. They've integrated and brought through a lot of young players, which is really, really important, because we would have said back when we lost the final to Kerry that probably the bench was that little bit weak last year. Then new season, new championship, and we maybe just peaked too early. We won Connacht and ultimately didn't end up in the last eight, which was really disappointing for everyone. This year then, maybe looking at it a little bit differently, he would, like I said, his hand was forced. He had a lot of injuries. He was forced to bring in some new players. So again, the likes of Keane Darcy is a good example. I remember often speaking of John Maher in 2022 when he was on the fringes and really, really good club form. And you could see he was the type of lad that would love to have been involved and was probably unlucky not to be involved, but came in last year and made a big impression. Keane Darcy, similarly, his club form was excellent. He's come in and he's at it a lot and he's getting minutes under his belt. He's getting fitter with every game and getting extra time, and that's important. And then up top, then you have the likes of Robert Finnerty, who again had a lot of injuries last year, showed great potential in the first few years in the setup. He's getting a run of games, getting more confidence. And then you have the likes of Rory Cunningham, who's coming in. Again, from Pádraig's perspective from yesterday, I know it was fortuitous goals, but there was a game that they did go after Monaghan. They did kick the ball long. One was short from Robert Finnerty. That was fortuitous. But the other two were designed to go in and cause trouble on Monaghan, who had conceded a lot of goals previously. And from that, we score goals. We see Dublin doing it quite a lot. They're actually taking the chance on getting the ball in there and they're getting change out of it. And Pádraig seems to have the confidence in the players to give them the autonomy to do that. And yesterday they got the just reserve, the just reward from it, albeit a little bit fortuitous. But if they hadn't kicked it in, they wouldn't have got the goals, and which is positive to see that they're taking that chance. It puts us in a good position for the younger guys coming in, like two really, really good games to sort of test really where they're at in terms of like higher standard of league football now. Dublin in 2 weeks in Pier Stadium is a great opportunity for some of those, and then obviously Kerry. So it's a good barometer of where we're going to be at, some of the young guys, because I know from coming in as a young guy in league football, you can have it's that consistency that can be a challenge for young club guys coming in. I've seen it myself. You can have a good game and then the next game, so it'll be a good indication of where they're at. But Pádraig would be delighted. I'd say he'll have three or four guys in a much better place than they would have been, let's say, at the start of the league. And I think safety, bringing those guys through, he'll be quietly happy. And you could see from his body language from yesterday's interview that he was happy that the guys went through. And he knows there's noise out there, but he said the four walls within their camp. And they do look like a steady, happy camp and a team that are collectively going in the right place.
Malachy, a dilemma with Galway supporters and Galway fans that usually occurs around this time of year is, where do we play Sean Kelly? Yesterday we seen him play at 11 and it just shows certain counter attacks the threat Sean Kelly gives you going forward at centre forward.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's funny, I was at Tyrone Kerry yesterday and I've actually been at all of Dublin's games before now. And it's interesting at times to kind of look at it and go, is this really the football we're going to see in the summer? Like the condition, these pitches are so soft and so it is such a slog for a lot of these teams. Even as Eddie was saying there, you know, that Galway were playing the ball in long. I do wonder, are some managers kind of saying, listen, lads, I don't want you all running 13 kilometers, 14 kilometers a game in this ground. Let the ball do the work here a little bit, because you know, everybody's picking up so many injuries. I was really stunning, or really noticeable to me over the weekend, how many managers were complaining about the schedule, complaining about the soft tissue injuries that everybody was getting, the hamstrings people were pulling. All of that's around by way of talking about Sean Kelly. I think that come the hard ground, the sunny days of the summer, I think they're probably still going to leave him to do a lot of his own deciding where he goes, because I think that's when he's most dangerous. I remember that the Armagh game last year in Carrick and Shannon. Like he was kind of unmarkable that day, even though he was wearing number three on his back and was nominally, you would think was supposed to be marking Rian O'Neill or whatever. But I watched him as play was kind of building up time and again, and he would just be kind of tiptoeing in over the far wing when the ball was on the right wing and stealing in behind. And he's such an elusive player like that. And there aren't many players in the game like that, actually. Like, okay, positions have fallen down and everybody, kind of fills in where there's a gap and all of that sort of stuff. But that ability to sort of pop up unnoticed, even though everybody knows how dangerous he is, it's kind of a unique thing among these sort of serious elite teams. And I think it would be kind of silly to decide that he has one position and needs to stick to it, that he has a role to play and he shouldn't color outside those lines, because all the top teams, like the All-Ireland chasing teams, if we're generous and say there's a group of four or five, maybe like Galway are there on the fringes of that. A lot of them do an awful lot of the same things. A lot of these teams set up very similarly. A lot of them want to, break on the counter-attack and all of that kind of stuff. You need your little X factors. Now, obviously, Shane is an X factor that other teams don't have, but Sean Kelly is one as well. Just that little role that he has where he just kind of senses the mood of a game and decides what to do at a specific point. So yeah, like I understand that can give kind of supporters a bit of nervousness, because they're kind of going, yeah, but what's his job like? But at a certain level, I think he's built up such a bank of credit now, because he has popped up to score so many important scores and to make so many important tackles at the other end, that I think there is a certain level, because he's a sensible dude as well, that you can kind of say to him, you sense the game here. Okay, we're giving you this number on your jersey, but you know what this takes. It's not an indiscipline thing. It's not the kind of thing that you kind of give to a young lad and kind of go, listen, you go and do whatever you like. It's more that he is a unique enough kind of player on the scene that you kind of go, okay, well, this is generally what you're supposed to do. Maybe we position you at center forward, but I don't think that's really going to be his thing. Like, if center forward as in a kind of a link for the ball coming out and laying it off to the full forwards, I don't know if that's it. I think it's more kind of creeping around the pitch and popping up where he thinks it's necessary.
Where would you like to see him, Eddie?
Yeah, look, Malachy touched on his versatility, and the one I will come back to where I'd probably like to play him, but one of the positives I take from is maybe Corrick's, like he was outstanding in Carrick and Shannon last year and had that luxury, but in the last number of years, we probably in a way we were sort of forced, our hand was a little bit more forced. Like Sean Fitzgerald has come in now and been very, very steady at full back. If that wasn't the case over the course of the last number of weeks, you'd be sort of saying maybe again, maybe we need him in full back in terms of Sean Kelly. And the case of Sean Fitzgerald, I think he's done really, really well. He's settled, he looks very solid in full back. Personally, I don't know, some might agree, might disagree. I'd like to see him as like that, the sort of a free roaming midfielder, with one I the likes of a John Maher one side of him, putting in the shift in terms of the marks, the high field, and Sean just up and down between the lines. Because he literally, I'd say there's very few players in the country that have that engine. He can score, he can tackle, he can defend, he can do a lot. Putting him in at full back, he's confined sometimes to marking a guy. And in like I think in 2022, like he had a tough day in the final, but anyone would with Clifford. But again, I think we didn't get the most out of him that day. Like up the pitch, he's up the pitch, he's causing headaches for the opposition. They're wondering what we're going to do with this guy. Whereas confined to our square, it's less of a weapon for us. So I'd like to have him as a free roaming midfielder with the John Maher, with the Paul Conroy, someone in around him. And I think with the Sean Fitzgerald's performance over the league, he's been improving week on week. I think it gives us that bit of luxury. So midfield is the long-winded answer to your question. So where I'd play him.
Yeah, it's this dilemma I suppose we have with Kelly. Just can play him in a number of positions.
Yeah, we have like Dylan McHugh, wing back.
Yeah.
Daniel O'Flaherty has been excellent. Kieran Malloy. So I think we have sufficient cover. Like Johnny Heaney can play wing back. Killian McDade can play wing back. Yeah. John Daly nailed down for six. You're not going to put him in. He's not a cornerback. I think our forwards have added great depth over the course of the last number of weeks. With like last year, you would have said without Robert Finnerty, Shane Walsh, Damian Comer, we're under a little bit of pressure. Where's the score is going to come from? Yesterday, Robert Finnerty kicked two frees. We scored 3-12. So again, it's it is a positive, and that's going back to it. The hand was forced, but we had the players to step up and get involved. And I think everyone that really is available to play for Galway is more or less, unless they're injured, they're in the squad, they're in the setup, and that says a lot about the setup. Sometimes if a team or a structure isn't going as well and they're not in the top four, top five, top six, players might move away from it, but we've everyone there that's pretty much available, bar maybe Peter Cook, who's travelling, and that's another circumstance. But in times gone by, when maybe Mayo were in their peak under James Horan, you would have had cases where players weren't playing for Galway, whereas now they're all there. We have good depth in the squad. They want to be involved because they think Galway can basically win the All-Ireland, which is a good sign.
Just on the first half, we've kind of alluded to the goals, but on 25 minutes, Bonhearn are 4-3 ahead. It's a cagey game. Both teams are probably a bit slow on the transition. Between the 26th minute and the 37th minute, Galway get 3-1. That's the game changer, really. But as we were talking, Malachy, it was great to see Galway maybe just throw off the shackles and kick, I suppose, a couple of high balls into the square, and it did damage. But from a Monaghan perspective, then it's really poor defending for all three goals.
Yeah, and oddly enough, like, you know, Monaghan people can look at their own team sheet and say we're missing an awful lot of players, and that's true. That first ball that came in, like, that's Ryan Wiley and Ryan O'Toole that let it bounce in the square. Like, both of them have been All-Star nominees. You know, fair enough, it's Ryan O'Toole's second year, but like, it wasn't the really young, inexperienced lads that let that ball bounce. And you're kind of going, I don't know if I've seen a ball bounce in the square in a modern defense in over a decade, you know, like it just didn't happen, you know. There's a bit of organization there. That's like the new goalie. He's not a young guy, actually. Darren McDonald, he's 28, you know, he's waited his turn behind Began. But that speaks to a bit of disorganization, a bit of, come on, lads, you know, at under 12 level, not to let the ball bounce in the square when it's come in from midfield, you know. And like, there was a bit of bad luck then. It came off, I think, from off Ryan Wiley's arse, and the ball was finished to the net like that. So that was one. Like, I think the real killer was the second one, in a way. Well, actually, the real killer was the third one, but the second one was such a killer because Monaghan had got back, had done well, and we're coming out of defense, had got another turnover, and we're coming out of defense, and Andrew Woods got done for a black card for blocking.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was he blocked off, but it was probably a marginal enough black card, but at the same time, kind of a silly one to give the ref a decision to make there. Like, he had laid off the pass. I think it was Carlo Connolly gave it to, and your man was away, and Monaghan were about to build an attack, and to give away not just a black card there, but a free in, and like the free should, like, it looked like Rob Finnerty would score the free then. Like, it was bad enough giving away the free, it was bad enough getting the black card, but then to like fall asleep and the ball come down off the post is just kind of all a bit unforgivable. Now, saying that, young Cunningham. Like, you can say, right, fair enough. Lucky the way the chance came to him. And on a broader level, you can say, like, okay, this lad is having a day of days. His whole Galway career isn't going to be this, like, it's not going to go this well for him every day. Let's not extract too many lessons for down the road, blah, 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 blah. But not everybody finishes that well.
Yeah,
Like,
particularly top corner, like.
top corner put his absolute boot through it, wasn't a bit tentative with it, wasn't a bit kind of looking to see where the defenders were, picked it up, bang, and into the top corner, an absolute rasper. And you take that and you add it to the 3 points he got and the beautiful shape that was on the ball for each of the 3 points. That's clearly like that guy, he like that was my first time. I never heard of him obviously before yesterday. But like you can see like there's a real talent in those boots there. But yeah, and but even after like the thing, the reason Monaghan have stayed in the league for so long is that, you know, they have sort of perfected the art of not panicking. Like they shrug off goals very easily. They don't concede an awful lot of them to begin with, but they've tended to kind of go, all right, sure, come on, let's go again. We'll hold on to possession. We'll get up the pitch. We'll get it free. We'll press the kick out. We'll get another one back, and you know, no great harm done. And that's what they did. Like they scored the 3 points after the second goal, got right back into it. But like for that goal just before half time, just terrible. You know, really, you can't allow. You can't drop the ball like that. Look, it's a hard day for the goalie, but like that sort of stuff just can't happen at Division One level. It can't really happen at any level, you know, at inter-county. But like, that's just sloppy, scrappy stuff that they just generally like. They have in all the like. There's a reason why Monaghan got a reputation for, you know, last day. Dramatics staying in the league. It's because they have thrown in every league campaign, they do throw in the odd stinker. They do throw in the odd game where they get royally turned over. But like this is the fourth defeat in a row by at least 8 points, I think. And that's, you can't do that. Like they have the most goals conceded in the four divisions. You can't do that. They have tended to really fall behind in the first half of games, which really wasn't their thing for the last 10 years either. Look, they have an awful lot of young players. They've lost an awful lot of players over the winter. They've not seen a lot of experience leave. Like Conor McManus, that was his first game yesterday when he came off the bench. Darren Hughes's first game was last week. You take out Kieran Hughes is retired. Connor Boyle left the panel. Shane Carey left the panel. You're talking. I think they started yesterday with maybe seven of the team that played the All-Ireland semi-final last year against Dublin. And now look, Galway were the same. Like, you know, I right. You guys can tell me better than I would know, but I'd say six, seven of that team will be in Galway's starting team in the summer. Like, it's not. That it's no, Monaghan aren't the only team with losing players, but I guess the flip side of the sort of success that they've had over the last 10 years, and success in Monaghan's terms is all relative, but is that the next generation hasn't really been brought through, and they're kind of coming through together now, like. You look at, like, say, young Cunningham yesterday. So he was starting on a team that still had John Daly and still had Sean Kelly and still had Johnny Heaney. You know, like there's real grizzled experience backbone there. Whereas, you know, the Monaghan attack yesterday, I think, had three, maybe four players playing in their first league campaign. You know, so it's look, it's all a learning curve. It's all of that sort of stuff. But yeah, you can't. It's very hard to come through as young players when like mistakes like that just kind of nobble all of your effort, because no matter how sort of you no matter how brave you want to be or how much you want to kind of shrug off disappointment. You give away three goals and a half, and like all of them are preventable. Like that's a rough halftime team talk. And you know, especially if you're in your first league campaign and you're looking around, you go, God, we have a long way to come back here. So yeah, look, it's been a bad campaign for them. There's no getting away from it.
Eddie, Malachy references Rory Cunningham. How impressed were you with him yesterday?
Yeah, really, really impressed. Like, that's his first start in a league game, and just his overall spatial awareness, his reaction to the goal. Like, it reminds you nearly of Michael Meehan, the way he roofed the ball to the net with his left foot. He was like, okay, yeah, it was fortuitous insofar as how it landed literally in his butt, but he was in the right place. And he finished it really, really well, really confidently. And then left and right foot, he looked really, really good. He's been like putting up double scores in intermediate club games for St. Brendan's for a number of years. He's been really to the fore for Brendan's, and they've been knocking on the door as well. St. Brendan's, they're one of the teams that, like, they're low profile, but they've definitely been in the top four or six of intermediate over the course of the last number of years. And really, primarily, he's their main scoring threat. And he took his chance yesterday. And I'd say he patiently was waiting for that chance, because he would have seen Cillian O'Curry, Liam O'Connell and other guys getting their chance. And again, like, adding that depth is really, really important. But he got his chance yesterday, and he really, really took it. For, like, I don't know what age profile he'd be. Might be 23, 24. Would he, Rory? Is he a bit older?
Yeah, he'd be 24, yeah.
24, yeah. So, like, he's not young insofar as making his debut. He's been around, he's done his graft at intermediate club level, played some FBD games, had featured as a sub at times, but he'll take a lot from it. And Pádraig will too, because touching on, like, you're relying on your Robert Finnerty, your Shane Walsh, Damien Comer. Now you've Rory Cunningham to add to that. Cillian O'Curry was really good when he came on. And just look, Galway, and looking back, touching on what Malachy was saying, the goals. Like, I think it was 15 scores to 14. So it was the goals that killed Monaghan. And then the second half, having come back after two bad goals, chipping away with 3 points, and then to concede another bad goal before half time was not just 3 points, it was demoralizing, I'd say, going into the dressing room at half time. And then Galway basically managed the game, albeit Pádraig touched on there were some turnovers that he wouldn't be happy with, but they've simply managed it quite well in the second half. They scored their frees, and if they weren't going to concede sloppy goals themselves, they were always going to win with Cillian O'Curry converting the frees, and that's how it played out in the end. But Rory Cunningham, yeah, definitely a big plus from yesterday would be Rory. Like, you have the likes of I touch on, like, Johnny Heaney, like, what a servant he's been over the course since Kevin brought him in 2015, he's been, like, one of Galway's best players, man of the match a couple of weeks ago as well against Tyrone. And, like, he's another guy that can just put in a shift. He's going to do a job for you, and he's going to be one of the first names on the team sheet. But you've the likes of Johnny there out doing his bit at 10, Grafton, but then you've the likes of the Rory inside that's going to chip away and get your 1-3, get your 1-4. A game, and that's really, really important to be able to show that. Cathal Sweeney's another one who's got a lot of game time into him over the course of the league. He's been very, very good, and he's getting on. Cold in terms of his finishing, and something maybe they've worked on. But
is that important, though, that Cathal Sweeney's added? I suppose we've seen against Tyrone and the last day that he's added now to his scoring, because we all know he has that ability.
Yeah, he has that sort of, like, rare type of engine to be able to get up and down. He plays on the edge as well. He brings that tigerish sort of aggression that's important. And you can see Pádraig likes him. Going back to the row in Armagh, he was in the thick of it a few years ago. I think Pádraig likes that edge. You don't want every player to have it, but he certainly has it, and he adds a different dimension. And he's definitely he's a type of player that, with his engine, no more than Sean Kelly, he will end up in good positions. So I think it's something he might have worked on, because traditionally, in his minor days or under 20s, he was always a more defensive player, but he's developed this role in it wing forward, and he's popping up in good positions and showing good composure. He's got a good few scores, and again, a good positive. And on the other hand, Daniel O'Flaherty, another Salt and Lantna Cara guy, again, last year, Kieran Malloy out with his cruciate. Everyone would have said, what a big loss. He's, how will he do without Kieran Malloy? And but this year, then you have Daniel O'Farrell.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
He's come in and he's been excellent. And again, add great depth. Whereas before losing Kieran Malloy, we said we're under pressure. Yesterday, Kieran was on the subs and Daniel done very, very well. So again, Kieran will be knocking on the door. He'll be pushing Daniel. He'll be pushing Dylan McHugh the other side. He was man of the match. And Orrick Joyce and Galway are the beneficiaries of that.
Will Killian McDade be back, lads?
He should be. Probably maybe the knockout stages, I'd say. Maybe not, might make the Connacht. Paul might know better, but I understand he's a little bit further away than others.
He did Defibia in the club championship and he was back in January and then he had a setback with his groin. Yeah. So that's what has him out for the last while. But yeah, I'd say from a goal perspective there, Malachy, you're nearly hoping to get some of these front hitters back for Dublin and Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because the thing is, there's such power around the middle eight of Galway. Now McDade's a huge part of that. And I'm talking in championship terms, you know, that's such a huge weapon for them if they're able to get like the likes of McDade back. I think the reason I was so taken, and I'm sure everybody was taken with Rory Cunningham yesterday, is that at a certain level, like that finishing talent is exactly what Galway are going to need. Because he's not, you know, you couldn't really, well, look, maybe he'll kick on, but you couldn't really see him starting, say, an All-Ireland semi-final or something like that. But, you know, somebody to come on and get three touches of the ball in the last 15 minutes and score 2 points or score 1-2 or something like that, you know, that could be amazing for Galway. And it's exactly what they would need and what they miss, you know, on a day when, say, like Shane is only sort of scoring his frees or something like that, you know, that somebody to come in like that and just get a rapid fire 2 points and take the attention off the rest of the players and stuff like that could be that's a really exciting addition for Galway to have, because not everybody has it. Like, you know, I was in Killarney yesterday and with 10 minutes to go, Tyrone were 6 or 7 points down and they took Derek Hanavan off and you were going, okay, they've sort of given up here. They kind of know that there's nothing left in the game for them, even though it was Cathal McShane that they brought on, but like he's not the player that he was. So like there's most of the counties, Kerry don't even really have it. Like Kerry's big problem going into last year's All-Ireland final was who's going to spring from the bench here and save the game for them. Killian Spillane came on, but he wasn't even in the squad yesterday. I think he's injured again, you know. Like it's a great thing to be able to throw somebody in and know that they only need 2-3 touches of the ball.
Yeah, you look at Malachy as well, like for instance, McShane, Canavan, like they probably made a massive difference in winning Tyrone the All-Ireland against
me. Absolutely, yeah.
Galway, the two Spillanes came on and we didn't have the two Spillanes to come on. So again, something maybe we're adding because you definitely need it. You definitely need it, something we didn't have. So you need them finishers to see out the games, especially with the long season as well, because legs are going to be heavy come July. You've had a lot of work on a lot of miles on the clock, so it's even more important now than ever.
You're almost thinking it could be nearly Malachy like a Damien Comer and Rory Cunningham, nearly like twin towers, like of Comer bringing a player like Rory Cunningham into the game.
Yeah, possibly, but and look, you guys have seen him way more of him than me. Like I didn't even watch the game live yesterday. All I've seen are the highlights of his scores. So you know far better than me what the long term prospects of him are. I was just so taken with his finishing ability. Like, you know, plenty of intercounty players can score goals and score points and all of that, but just the shape of his shots there's just something in the bend of the ball was a little different that, and especially his goal, how small a window he had for the chance and how quickly he took it and how little thought he gave it. Like that's, an instinctive finisher like that, oh my God, is worth some amount in Croke Park in the middle of June and the start of July. Like it's really, it's worth its weight in gold.
Coach that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, exactly. And the mindset of it. You know, here's the lad playing in his first game, ball drops down off the post. There's no looking around him, no fisting it over the bar, no nothing. Bang, top corner. Like, he'll take that all day.
And he seems like a fella as well, like there was no, like he couldn't blame him, but be excited having scored a goal. He got his goal. There was no theatrics. He got his goal, got his scores. It was just on to the next play, which is a good sign. He looks like he's quite a modest, level-headed guy, which is important as well going forward.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest positive from a Galway perspective yesterday. Just on the second half, Eddie, we were saying Bourke did reference in his interview he wasn't happy with certain aspects, but really with the three goals we got, we managed the game well. We just always, I suppose, had that response that just kind of stopped any Monaghan comeback.
Yeah, definitely, and I touched on it. Cillian O'Curry was effective from the place. Scored a mark as well, and I'd say Porrick's message to them at halftime was to solidify things at the back. If we don't score goals and we chip away at a few points, we'll be hard bet. And that's what it was. I think it was 8-7 in the second half, and Galway just chipped away. McManus, McCarthy came in for Monaghan, but again it was the goals really were the defining moments, and Galway were never going to let up. But going up to Clonus, 3-12, Porrick will be, and he said it in his interview, he'll be really, really happy with it, because I've been in Clonus. It's a very difficult place to get a result. I remember, I think we were relegated a few years ago with Paul Finlay, great score over on the left hand side. That was a good few years ago now, could be 50, but we were relegated, like Monaghan maybe, after a long tenure in Division One. It was a disappointing day, but never an easy place to go. So he'll take a lot from it, and the younger guys will take a lot from it, because I remember being a young guy on a bus going into Clonus, and it's very intimidating looking down from the bus from a height at this cauldron. It's like nearly the Coliseum, looking down on the it's a really impressive stadium, and a stadium that you'd remember playing in. And the guys hopefully will take a lot from it. I'm sure they would have gone up early Saturday, got a bit of team bonding, like they would have put a good structure in place and taken a lot of confidence. They'll be going in now on Tuesday night, resting, getting the bodies ready, hopefully get another few players back that weren't togging yesterday, because they have a 2-week window now to work on, and then it moves nicely. I'd say he'll be very interested, Park, in seeing how they respond to the likes of a Dublin, to the likes of a Kerry, who you'd probably say are 1 and 2 in the country right now. So it's a great position to be in, having more or less secured safety, albeit not fully, but more or less, barring some strange sequence of results, we should hopefully retain our status. So it gives them that luxury to be able to maybe try a thing or two in the next few weeks.
Is the biggest improvement, Malachy, that you've seen, is it Galway's scoring return? Because before yesterday, they just haven't been scoring enough in games.
Yeah, and look, it's a thing that Galway have been probably too reliant, obviously, on a couple of key guys to get the scores. Now, look, Kerry are very reliant on well, we say one player, but three players, basically. Like, the two Cliffords and Sean O'Shea scored 15 of their 18 points yesterday. Like, that's, they account for well over sort of 75-80% of Kerry's scores on any given day. So, look, it doesn't have to be that critical, but you do want to spread it around a bit. And on a day when, say Shane Walsh has one of his days where he scores whatever, 5 from 9 shots or something like that, and he keeps shooting and some of them just don't go over, and Damien can't get into it, or Sean Kelly doesn't pop up with a goal, or you obviously need scores coming from the back. You need scores just coming from everywhere. Like Derry's, you look at Derry's solution to really only having one sort of real marquee forward is to source their scores from the defense. And there might be a limited enough future in that. They might find that that's why their ceiling ends up being the All-Ireland semi-final and or beaten in the final. You know, you need more scores. You need more danger. That's the real thing. Like when we look at last year's All-Ireland final, what did Dublin do? They kept David Clifford to 3 points, and that was it. That was their job. Their job was to shut down the big option, and let's see what happens. Let's see if the rest of them can beat us, and the rest of them couldn't beat them, you know. So it's you got to score more. You got to spread the scores around. And like the year Galway made the final, they did that. Like, you know, funny, that's why I was asking about Cillian McDaid a bit. You know, like somebody like that coming from deep, arriving late, scoring the goal, that brilliant goal that he scored in whatever that was, the semi-final or
I think
final,
the
the
quarter
All-Ireland game.
game.
Yeah, quarter game again. Yeah, like popping up from nowhere, the way Sean Kelly does, like that's, you're gonna need that. Like when the air gets very thin towards June and July, that's what you're going to need. And so yeah, look, 312, fine. It sounds like a score. It's still only 15 scores though. So and you wouldn't say they created any of the three goals. So I wouldn't be getting too, like, and I know Porrick wouldn't be getting too sort of carried away there. It wouldn't have taken very much for that 312 to be, I don't know, 13 points, you know. Like if Rob Finnerty's free goes over instead of hitting the post, or indeed goes wide, worse again, like there's a goal that doesn't happen. If the goalie catches the ball when it comes in from the sideline, there's a goal that doesn't happen. You know, it's it, you there is it wouldn't have taken an awful lot for Galway to have come away with like 14 points yesterday, and then you'd be going, I don't know, they're still not scoring enough. But look, goal chances came, they scored the goals. That obviously changes, you know, how you play the second half. You know, it's not as simple as saying take those three goals away and Galway wouldn't have gone on to score 16, 17 points. They would have reacted whatever way the game demanded they react. But still, 312 is 15 scores, and 15 scores, you're gonna need to do more than score 15 times in these games. But look, again, it's March, the ground is very soft. All of those caveats have to be entered into.
That's all we do have time for on today's podcast. Thanks to Malachy and Eddie for coming on.
Thanks, Paul.
Yes. I like young Cunny. I'm Rory Cunny. I think there's something in him. Again, he's starting his senior intercounty. Like, he obviously he's a lot of experience at underage and stuff, but it's a different kettle of fish. But I thought like he had a hand in Kyle Sweeney's goal last week, and remember the ball came into him and he had the ball laid off very, very quickly. He has the instincts of a forward, of a good inside forward. You can see it in him. Even down in, if you remember down the dome there in the FBD, like he had whipped a couple of balls in the back of the net and he was only in a few minutes. I've seen him a few times with at club level, and he just has lovely touches for as an inside player. I think there's something in him. I think we mightn't have seen it all this year, because again he's just learning his trade, and he'll be getting up to the speed of it and what cornerbacks do at intercounty level. But there's definitely something in young Cunningham. I think he knows where the posts are, and he has the instincts of an inside player. And it's a hard thing to coach. You know, if you played inside in the inside line, all your underage life, you have learned things over a 10-year, 12-year period like that. It's very hard for a guy that is just put in there and has to figure it out in the space of a few months.